Sports Time Radio. All sports, all the time. Hey, we're 30 minutes earlier, but we're rolling out the Thursday edition of Sports Time Radio. I'm the Big Jack, and since we are 30 minutes earlier, that means Schomburg Stu is here.
And I'm ready to go.
All right, if you'd like to call into the podcast, 646-478-3753 is the number to do that. If not, feel free to email us, sportstimeradio@hotmail.com. Anything else you need? Head on over to sportstimeradio.com. Now, you know, those blogs go up on Wednesdays and Saturday mornings, so if you didn't get the opportunity to stop over there yesterday and check it out, it's still hanging out over there waiting for you. So swing by there, see what's going on. Of course, while you're at sportstimeradio.com, you want to hit that link, get yourself over to the Sports Time Radio Facebook page. If you could like that while you're over there, well, hey, we greatly appreciate that. But don't forget, there's also the Sports Time Radio Twitter feed, which is at Sports Time Radio. Now, sadly, Stu does not have an official Twitter account. He may have some burner accounts like Brian Colangelo, the former 76ers president, has, but he doesn't have an official one yet. I am officially on Twitter at Burke Time, so you can hunt me down there if you'd like to do that. So there you go.
Well, you know,
all right, what are we talking about?
Right?
Yes, he got canned. Well, I believe
right.
He agreed to resign.
Yeah, that's the word that's out right now.
Did you see blamed his wife? Or they're blaming his wife,
that.
The media?
Oh, no, I didn't see that.
Yeah, they're apparently saying that she was, I don't believe this at all, but they're saying she was the one responsible for these Twitter accounts. So.
Yeah. They also have some property in Florida they want to sell you, too.
Yeah, or a bridge in what, Brooklyn? So
I got quite the kick
out of that. Now you know, in this new day and age of all this wonderful social media stuff that I don't completely understand, I really kind of thought this was the route they had to go because, you know, I mean, if I was a free agent, I wouldn't be looking at the 76ers if I was going to have to worry about the president going behind my back on some fake account. Did you, you know, as social media savvy as you are, did you see another way out for them?
No, they had to make that decision. And I think it's the right one. And it's unfortunate that the social media is just taking over the world. And they know that they can get in hot water, these well-known personalities, celebrities, they know they can get into hot water doing it. And they still do it. Explain that one to me. Why?
Yeah, well, you know, the new thing seems to be, you know, it's a mistake or I was hacked. You know, I know there was a situation, another NBA situation where Steven Adams, the big the Oklahoma City Thunder center, liked some kind of tweet about a negative Carmelo Anthony tweet. And he went with the excuse that his hands were so big it slipped, and he accidentally hit the like button. And I'm like, does anybody believe you?
Come on.
So,
talking about stretching the truth, right? I mean, that's ridiculous.
Yeah.
Absolutely ridiculous.
Just kind of humorous when you know you listen to these things and it's like, wait, you did what? How, you know, I mean, I got big fat hands too. I mean, they're probably not as big as Steven Adams, but I've never mistakenly liked something, you know, about negative about one of my friends or
right.
Well, teammates. I don't really have it. You know, it's just one of those things. So
it's a good thing, by the way, that Hayes Calhoun isn't doing that thing. His hands will slip all the time.
Well, you know, like the funny thing with Colangelo is I guess he was linked up to like five different accounts. And, you know, a lot of them were just used to talk about what a great job he was doing. So
that's funny.
Like, okay, cool. All I'm thinking is I got to open another Twitter account and start talking about what a great job I'm doing on here.
And what name is he using when he when those other five accounts? Did he use his name, or is there a some kind of a pseudonym he's using, some false name?
No, well, you know, like you're allowed to make up your Twitter handle. You know, like mine is, you know, Burke Time, which is a combination, obviously,
right,
of my last name and then the podcast name here. You know, like Dan's is Dan Z Man, but the middle is Z E E with three E's. So you can make up whatever you kind of want to make. And apparently all theirs had 76ers in it somehow.
Yeah, it could have been an anagram, a cryptogram, some kind of a code,
yeah,
that you wouldn't know about. But if you shift the words around or the letters around, it might come up to somehow the 76ers. Not very inventive.
So, yeah. No, you know, just one of those, you know, one of those things. I mean, you're just kind of coming up with a name on the fly, you know what you come up with. So, but yeah, I just thought I really thought the funniest thing about, you know, part about the whole thing was the fact that his wife is just seeming to get most of the blame, and I guess, you know, I mean, I'm sure she's willingly going to take it because this will probably give him an opportunity to get another seven-figure NBA job after, you know, what he did with the 76ers and kind of straightening out the mess they had when he took over.
If he doesn't get another deal, if he doesn't get another deal like that, they can always get a reality show on TV.
Yeah. Oh, God.
Right?
Yeah, just what we need is one more of those out there. But, you know, while we're on the NBA, is the series over? You got it wrapping up in a sweep here. You know, Golden State won again last night in Cleveland. I really thought Cleveland would win that game. I thought that was the game they were going to win. And I really thought, you know, to say it the way I always said it, I really thought the refs would help them out with some foul calls. You know, Golden State overcame all that. And, you know, now they're up 3-0. Do they close it out? What is it? It's just a game break, so they're playing tomorrow. Do they close this out tomorrow?
I got a feeling that Cleveland is going to get a token victory, like you suspected. You said Golden State in five was your prediction, and I'm still going with that.
So,
by the way, there was another one of those reversal calls in the game, and I never remember seeing the NBA doing that. And Is it a foul? Is it a charge? Let's look at the replay, and that's going too far as I'm concerned. But what's your take on that?
Yeah, I didn't see obviously any of the game with you know, my schedule, surprisingly whatever I had going on, I didn't catch this, so I did not see this one. But yeah, as a whole, you know, I'm always happy when you get the call right, but it slowly seems like we're getting to the point where we're going to be replaying everything in every sport. And it's just like, when is it just too much?
Yeah, and you know more about this than I do. In hockey, I know there's been a few reversals on offside calls. Is there any other reversals that you can think of that takes place in a hockey game besides that?
You know, just, you know, if there's an odd goal, you know, that they'll look
right,
at, you know,
right.
Sometimes it gets waved,
right,
the guy's in a crease, you know, stuff like that. But, yeah, they don't, they don't do too much flipping things around there.
No, and that's the way it should be. And it does seem to get out of hand, and I wish that they could do something to tighten up that situation.
Yeah, you know, I know, and you know, a lot of it is, well, you know, we gotta do this, and the fans want this, and I think the fans would just like the game to kind of move along quickly.
And you know how long the last 2 minutes of an NBA game takes anyway, even especially in a close game.
Yeah, oh God.
I mean, the interminable stops, the fouls, the timeouts, the delays, the checking out of a different place. What does it take, at least a half an hour for those last 2 minutes or longer?
Yeah, and once the fouls start, it's just like, yeah, I need to turn this off. I can't continue to watch this. I just can't take it anymore. So,
right.
It'll get to the point where I don't care who wins. I just want it over with. You know, it's just not.
Right. Right. It's just
not worth.
That reminds me, when you said that, by the way, that the first Cub announcer I used to hear on the radio, his catchphrase was, "We don't care who wins as long as it's the Cubs." Burt Wilson. A name you're probably not familiar with.
No, well, actually, I know the name because you've mentioned it once or twice when you've been
right.
on here with me.
Right.
But, yeah, I never heard him myself. So, the first Cub guy I got was, I believe, was Jack Brickhouse. So.
Right, and Jack Quinlan was the terrific radio announcer, but he died in a terrible automobile accident. But he was terrific, one of the greatest announcers ever. Of course, they have a pretty good one right now. In the radio booth.
Yeah, and the radio, they're just fine. Television,
yeah.
Not so much, but the radio, they're just fine.
Not so much. Hey, I know you have a format for the show, but can I break in and just make one statement and ask you a question? And it's a baseball related, all right?
Yeah.
Is it okay if I do? Is it okay if I do that?
I'm flying by
no
the seat of my pants here. We can do whatever. You... No.
All right, just let me try that. First of all, I have to make a statement, okay? The statement is, they don't ask you how you won; they ask you, did you win? I'm talking about the Cub game today. And the game, and here's the question I have to ask you, because you were a catcher in college. The game, the winning run scored on a controversial play at the plate once again, in which Elmora was tagged out, but they reversed the call because the catcher's foot was blocking the plate. Now, you've been, as I mentioned before, you've had experience in catching in college. What do you think about these rules? I mean, how can they get these things right eventually? I mean, it seems so confusing to me.
Yeah, it was odd that, like this catcher was blocking the plate, but you go back to what Anthony Rizzo did, and that wasn't reversed. And,
right,
Rizzo's was a hard baseball play, I won't call it clean because it's something you're not supposed to do in today's game. But, yeah, I don't know where the line is between where a catcher can stand and where he can put his feet. And, if the throw takes him up the line there, there's so many variables that go into a play at the plate like that. And, it's baseball. You kind of got to let them play eventually, don't you?
Yeah. You got to let them play the game. And I looked at the replay in that play. And I really think that if the catcher's leg was not blocking the plate, that he would have scored on that play. But that's baseball. That's a baseball play. And that's the thing that bothers me about some of these new rules that they have. Because I definitely think that 20 years ago, no one would have thought anything about this at all. He's out of the plate. That's it. But I could see the fact that he would have scored otherwise if the catcher's leg was not blocking the plate, but that's a good baseball play as far as I'm concerned. So I just don't understand it.
Yeah, and and it's got to be difficult on a catcher because, that's one of the things you're kind of taught is to, obviously you don't stand in front of the plate or anything anymore because you just can't do that. But, you go out of your way to make it. I mean, even in Little League, you're showing how to make it difficult for guys to score just by standing at a certain angle and making them take just a little bit of an approach, a different approach to finding their way home. Because, a tenth of a second could make all the difference in the world of a
sure.
safer an out call.
Sure.
And now they've taken all that away, and it's, it's one thing when, okay, you called the guy out and he was safe or vice versa, But to reverse it because, well, he had his foot in the way.
Yeah.
What?
Yeah, it's strange. Now, here's the interesting thing about that play. I don't know if you saw the replay or if you saw the game. I know you had other things going on today. But when the reversal was made, there was not one complaint or yelling or screaming from the Philadelphia dugout. The manager, nothing. No one made a comment. Nothing. Not even a discussion with the umpires. It's as if they thought that, well, this play is going to be reversed. We can't do anything about it. And it was, which I found kind of interesting.
Yeah, I haven't seen it, but yeah, I don't understand it. And I like how you covered them for me for saying I had other things to do. I actually completely forgot the Cubs were playing this afternoon. So,
right.
But thanks for the cover. I appreciate that.
Right, no problem. You know, all afternoon games the rest of the week, beautiful Wrigley Field. All the 120 games.
Yeah.
No night games. Before they move on to Milwaukee and play the Brew Crew, a big battle coming up next weekend, next Monday, Tuesday, and I guess Wednesday. I'm not sure if it's it must be a three-game series. So that should be
I was lucky enough to catch the end of the game, and it sounded like good old JD had like a sore throat or something. So
yeah,
I was a little disappointed that I couldn't watch because I probably wouldn't have had to listen to him.
Yeah, those guys, as we've talked before, most people love Lennon JD, but we're not one of those people, for sure. They really get on my nerves, up to the point that sometimes I just, as I pointed out to you in emails, I'm half a mute to sound. I just can't take it, listening to those guys, especially in a close game, in a late inning game when it's 2-1 or 1-1, and they'll start doing their jokes and their rock stuff, and incomprehensible how they could do that.
Well, you know, and like the strangest thing is, I heard Len Casper doing the Fox game when the Cubs were the Fox National game, and he didn't do any of that garbage,
no.
And he was a professional, very good announcer. And then you get him here, and it's like he's, you know, like it's, you know, amateur night at, the comedy club.
Yeah, I agree completely. That's what I thought of also when I watched. Well, I didn't watch the entire game last Saturday. It was movie night for us, as you well know. But I did see quite a few of the innings. And he was good. He was good. He was very good. I enjoyed listening to him. And I thought to myself, why can't he do that in a regular Cub broadcast? But no, he can't do it. They just cannot do it.
Yeah, it's just the oddest thing, because, like, at first when I turned the game on, I almost turned it off because I heard him, and I thought, great, he's going to ruin a national game. But, yeah, then I stayed with it, and I realized he wasn't the clown that he normally tries to be. And I'm like, man, where the hell is this guy when I'm watching a regular Cub game?
Yeah, exactly. Well, you can be a homer in a regular Cub game, right? There's no, you can be a homer. Let's face it. I mean, at least to some extent. But the jokes and the discussions about irrelevant things. No, I cannot do that. I cannot listen to that. And as I mentioned to you before, especially in a close game and in the late innings.
Yeah.
But that's just me.
Yeah,
that's just you.
Yeah, it's just baffling, listening to those two sometimes. And, yeah, it'll be this, this tight-knit situation, and they're talking about what they're going to eat. And I'm like, I don't care what is,
I just can't take it. I really can't take it. It's really annoying. And by the way, I think I mentioned to you that I actually gave up in the game last night, which is a very bad mistake on my part, and turned it off after Merle got into all kind of trouble, and could not believe that Jason Hayward hit a two-strike pitch against a tough left-hander for a Grand Slam home run.
Yeah, he's been hot lately. So,
yeah, he has.
And
Yeah, and as I mentioned on the Cubs website, you can see the entire inning, all 20 minutes of it, which I enjoyed.
Yeah, you know, it's nice to see him coming around. You know, he had so many struggles, and I mean, I don't know how well he'll end up doing this year, and I really do wonder if maybe that contract has weighed on him, because he was always a good player, but I don't know if he was ever that type of big-time money player that they hit him with, you know, potentially maybe because he was so young. And I'm wondering if maybe he's finally adjusting to it and he's going to kind of go back to being the younger Jason Hayward that was, you know, the guy we thought was going to turn into
Yeah, he had one very good year, didn't he? A couple of good years maybe with St. Louis and with Atlanta, right? Didn't he play with Atlanta? And he had a couple of very decent offensive years, and he had some punch, some power, but he certainly hasn't shown that here. And at least he's hitting respectable. What is he hitting, about 260 right now, would you say, roughly?
Right, yeah, right around there.
Yeah, I found it interesting against a right-handed pitcher. They arrested him today. He didn't play today. And it was a right-handed pitcher on the mound. I thought, what is going on here?
Yeah, you know, looking at some of his stats, you know, he's never been a huge power guy. You know, his career high in homers is 27, but that's the only year he's ever been over 20. So, you know, he's not going to give you huge power numbers. He hit 293 his last year in St. Louis before the Cubs signed him. That's the, the best he's ever done there. And obviously he's a great defender. I mean, he's got, five gold gloves to his credit in the, he's played eight full seasons. He's won five gold gloves.
Yeah.
So
he's a wonderful fielder, and he's saved them many times with his great defense. Well, it'll be nice to see if he can keep it up like he's been playing the last couple of weeks, but we'll see. We'll have to wait and see what happens.
But interestingly, I have to ask you now, his rookie year was 2010. He finished second in the rookie of the year voting. Do you have any idea who beat him out?
Can't think of that at the moment, but I'm sure you can tell me, right?
Well, I know who you're thinking. I'll give you a hint. It wasn't Starlin Castro. He finished fifth that year. So, he actually moved out to Buster Posey was the rookie of the year in 2010.
Well, Posey has had certainly a good career, although I think he seems to be tapering off a little bit the last few years. I think that wear and tear of catching is catching up to him a little bit. I don't think is he around 300 this year? I've forgotten now if Posey is around that figure.
I think he is. I'll check that in a minute because I just want to hit you with the fact that in the American League that year, former Cub Austin Jackson finished second in the Rookie of the Year voting, and Wade Davis finished fourth in the American League voting that year for Rookie of the Year. So there you go.
The former Cubs, right?
Ooh.
Yeah,
about
that.
Here, I can tell you, Posey is hitting .303 this year in 49 games.
Ah.
And for his career, he's a .308 hitter.
But not many homers, I'm sure.
No, he's got four this year. He does have a career high of 24 and another year with 22. But, yeah, he's not a big big power guy. He does drive in the runs, though. You know, he's gotten over 100 and 95 before. But, he doesn't really play in a homer-friendly ballpark. I think if maybe he was someplace else, he might do a little better. But, he's a rookie of the year and MVP and – a multiple time all-star and world champion. So,
he's had a good career, no doubt about that. Yeah, and even though, as you pointed out, it's not a home run friendly park out there in San Francisco, it's a lot better than Candlestick, believe me.
Yeah, definitely. So, everybody seems to agree if Willie Mays would have played somewhere else, it would have been him, not Hank Aaron, who had the home run record.
Yeah, I wouldn't doubt it. Mays was a phenomenal player. I mean, the guy could do everything. I mean, he was a great, great player. I saw him play in person many times. I even saw Stan Musial play many times.
Yeah.
Am I giving away my age when I say that? And, yeah. And speaking of that, by the way, did you notice that one of the all-time great Cardinals just passed away a day or two ago?
Yeah.
I think he was 95. Red Shanines, you remember him? Great second baseman
for
the Cardinals. Yeah, he was a great player. They had some good team, good players, good teams over the years, the Cardinals.
Obviously, I remember the manager because he stopped playing before I was born. But, he's, you know, Hall of Famer. You know, the Veterans Committee put him in as a Hall of Famer. So
he had a long, productive career in baseball and lived to a nice, ripe old age. And 95 isn't too shabby.
No, definitely not. So, you know, hopefully I would make it that far, but I'm not so sure about that. So.
Well, maybe you will, but I don't know if I'll be around to see it, but I'm hoping you do make it that far.
You'd be a little ahead of, a little over that if you were, if I make it that far.
I would be one or two years ahead of that, wouldn't I?
You know, just a little bit there. But, hey, you never know, right? With the way they have medicine going now, who knows? You might still be there, you know.
Exactly right. Exactly right. We'll keep plugging.
But, I got to fill everybody in. Sadly, my FanDuel lineup yesterday did not tank because the overhyped Japanese superstar got a blister and had to come out of the game after only four innings and only scored me like 20 points. If I could have gotten a normal start out of him, I probably would have gotten my money back. But, yeah, he really let me down. So I could see the light of day in my FanDuel lineup again.
Isn't his ERA fairly respectable, though? Even though he's maybe not as great superstar as everybody thought, but isn't his ERA fairly decent?
Yeah, you know, as long as they continue to pitch him against bad teams, he seems to do okay. You know, like last night, I believe he had only given up one run before he got the hook. His ERA is 3.10 in 9 starts. I don't know how he would have done if he would have stayed in the game. You know, he gave up one run over four innings, and they're saying they don't expect him to miss a start. Of course, that will depend on who they're playing next, because if it's a good hitting team, they'll probably skip him or push him back, because they did that with the Yankees. They didn't want him to pitch against the Yankees.
Yeah,
let's see
how he would do against Yankees, Boston, or Houston, for example. See how he would fare there.
You know, I assume sooner or later he's going to have to pitch against the Astros because they're in the same division.
Yeah.
But they can probably avoid the Yankees and Sox as much as they want. So.
You know, talking about the Astros, did you know that Seattle's now in first place in the AL West?
It's Seattle. Of course I know they're in first place.
By one game? Maybe one game.
Might be a half a game. They lost last night to Houston.
Yeah.
They're playing tonight. So
it could theoretically happen because of the Yankees in Boston. It could theoretically happen that if Houston winds up behind Seattle, they don't make the playoffs. They might. They still might. I suppose. Yeah.
You got to figure they would probably grab the second one part, but I think you would much rather be a you'd rather be a division winner than a wild card team.
For sure. So, yes, Seattle really, as I mentioned last week, is, to me, the surprise team in baseball this year, playing very, very well.
Like I said, Ohtani kind of tanked my daily lineup. And then, of course, no surprise at all, I didn't hit any home runs because, for whatever reason, Bryce Harper and Mike Trout just refused to hit them when I used them. But they both get a day off today. I couldn't use either Trout or Harper. But I'm staying on my first baseman kick. So for my home run lineup, I went with Matt Olson of the A's. He's hitting cleanup for them. Mitch Moreland of the Red Sox is hitting cleanup for them. And then Ryan Healy of the Mariners, who's hitting sixth for them. My daily lineup rolling in today, and I'm going with Gerrit Cole. He cost me a lot of money, $11,800. But I read all day he's the guy to have, so I'm plugging him in. He's making a start for the Astros against the Rangers. Obviously, I had to save money down the board. So my catcher first baseman is Kendrys Morales of the Blue Jays. Cost me $2,300. He's hitting fifth tonight. Second base is Joey Wendell of the Rays. He's hitting third for them. Cost me $2,400. Danny Valencia, the Orioles, at third base. He's in the cleanup spot there. Cost me $2,600. Jose Iglesias of the Tigers is my shortstop. He's hitting eighth there, cost me $2,700. I did spend a little money here. My outfield starts with J.D. Martinez, who cost me $4,800, hitting third for the Red Sox. Randall Grichuk of the Blue Jays is my next outfielder at $2,100. He's hitting eighth for them. My outfield wraps up with Jacoby Jones of the Tigers. Only cost me $2,000, and he's leading off. So I'm going to get some extra at-bats out of a $2,000 guy. That may pay off for me. And then my utility guy tonight is George Springer, another guy I spent some money on of the Astros. He's leading off, cost me $4,100. So that's what I'm going with. It's 6:07 tonight for the main, so you got till then to get in and the late swap and everything. But that's what I'm running with, so hopefully it works out.
Well, we hope it works out for you. And I may have asked you this before, but maybe for some of us who don't know as much about this FanDuel as you do, is there a salary cap? I mean, is there a limit as to the amount of money you have to put in?
For your roster to build your lineup,
yeah.
You are limited
for the lineup for tonight, for example. I mean, is there any limit as to how much money you spend on the players that you select?
Yeah, you can't spend more than, I believe it's $35,000. You know, each sport is a little different. If I can grab a baseball one here, and we'll see what they have for the cap. I thought it was 35, but I know sometimes you get certainly give you an extra, you know, an extra $5,000, and you can go to 40. So let's see what this one is. And of course the internet slows down when I need it. It's like it cursed
me.
Yeah, $35,000 is what you have to spend on your lineup.
So if you inadvertently went over, they would automatically kick it out and tell you that.
Yeah, you can't, it doesn't allow you to go over. You can't enter the players. Once you hit that level, it tells you, you know, it reds everybody out. You can't enter anybody.
Right.
So,
right.
You know.
Well, it's gotta be.
You know, and I'm sure you're a little dull with Jason Hamill because he's making the start against the A's tonight. So.
Of course. Well, maybe you win a few bucks tonight.
Yeah, you know, I could use the bounce back after, you know, because I thought I was doing really well yesterday until he just washed. Ohtani just washed out on me, and it was like, oh man. Like,
yeah,
I don't know what happened to these guys. It's always something. I'm waiting for a pitcher to go on the disabled list because he got a paper cut or something. It's just, it's ridiculous with these guys now. You know, you can't throw a certain number of pitches, and you know they seem to get blisters right and left, and you know.
And Ohtani, of course, is used to playing in Japan, and they only pitch once a week, the pitchers there?
Yeah, well, that's the Angels have been handling him like that this year. He's only pitching once a week.
So they're hearing to the same schedule.
Yeah.
I wonder if it's worth that money for
what he's buying for them so far.
I have my doubts.
He's only making $545,000 this year because he came over a year early. If he would have waited, he would have cashed in on millions. So
the question comes to my mind is why didn't he wait one more year? He was so gung-ho.
Maybe he just wanted to try himself against the best, you know, or who knows? Maybe there was some internal conflict he didn't want to deal with over there. A lot of things could go on, but you know, you have the opportunity to go, and it's not like he's only 23. It's not like he's going to make the money. You know, not going to make the money. You know,
yeah, eventually
theory,
he'll
of course.
Make the bucks for sure. He'll make the bucks.
Yeah. But, you know, Stu did mention the Cubs did win. They won 4-3 over the Phillies. There were some other day games. The Cardinals beat the Marlins 4-1. The Twins beat the White Sox 7-2. The Dodgers beat the Pirates 8-7. And then in 13 innings, the Reds got by the Rockies 7-5. So. Got to get that travel day stuff in.
Right. That's a surprising number of afternoon games for a Thursday. Usually you don't see that many afternoon games.
So, yeah, I don't think any of them were makeup games. It seems like, you know, lately it's just been a lot of makeup games.
Yeah, well, you know how the season started off for a lot of teams. The Cubs are still, what, three or four games behind in hand, behind the number of games that the Brewers have played.
Yeah, and, you know, I noticed the Indians also have a really low game played number compared to anybody else.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
I was quite surprised at that. They must have had quite a few rainouts early on.
At least they're over 500 now by two or three games, so it doesn't look really ridiculous to see them in the standings.
Yeah, you know, you kind of figured they would get back.
Right. Yeah. Yeah, they've had their problems this year, except when they played the Cubs.
Yeah, you know, and I mean, they're going to get what they play everybody in their division 17 times, so that's quite a few games against sub 500. That's going to help you, help you kind of feast your record. I mean, especially the way the White Sox and the Royals are struggling, you know, those should be easy pickings for, you know, for a team like Cleveland. Cause, you know, as long as their bullpen shapes up, because their starters are really good, you know, and obviously their lineup looks good, but man, their bullpen scuffled.
They are having problems with the bullpen, but it looks like they're pretty much a lock to win the division.
Yeah, it would be a shock if something happened and they didn't find a way. You know, obviously the only way, I mean, if they were to lose, you know, Kluber and Carrasco, maybe then, you know, because the Tigers, you know, the Tigers and the Twins are only 4.5 back. It's not insurmountable yet. You get over to the American League East, man, it's already just a two-horse race. It's the Yankees and the Red Sox separated by a game. The Rays are 14 back already. Toronto is 16.5, and Baltimore is 23.5 or 23 back. So it's, you know, one team's going to win it, one team's going to get the wild card.
Yeah, and of course Seattle and Houston have kind of put some distance between themselves and the other teams too.
The Angels are hanging around. They're only 4 back, so. You know, they're somehow, oddly, and they have a losing record at home. They're 17-18 at home.
Surprising. But sometimes it's very hard to make up those four games when there's two games. Sometimes it's very difficult to make up those four games, by the way, when there's a couple of teams ahead of you in that division.
Yeah.
It seems like
the Nationals managed to even with the Braves. They're back tied after the series where I think the Braves took 2 out of 3 and they were anointing them as the new kings of the NL East because they love to do that kind of stuff. And, you know, the Phillies only hanging around 3 back. You know, if the Mets could ever get healthy, you wonder if the pitchers could lead them back. They're only 7.5 out. But, man, there's some kind of jinx there. Dan and I talked a little bit about it yesterday. I don't know if it's the water or what, but those guys just can't stay healthy.
No, and it's not just this season either. It's been that way for several seasons now that they seem to have such a terrible amount of injury issues with that team. As you pointed out, they could be a good team, better than the 500 team or a game up, a game over, a game under 500, but they just can't prevent those injuries from occurring, and that just kills them.
Yeah, you know, then you know, in the Central, the Brewers are hanging on to a half game. You know, the Cardinals are just 3 back, and the Pirates have dropped to 500. They're 6 back after, you know, the first couple weeks of the division. They were another team everybody was talking about of, oh, what a huge surprise. Look at the Pirates. They're going to do this. Guys, we're 15 games into the season. Let's start giving the divisions away. You know, you got to give these teams a chance to play some games. And sure enough, here we are. You know, 3 teams have went past them. So it's like idiots,
right.
Just shut up for a while.
And by the end of the season, right? There's still four months left in the season.
The Diamondbacks technically lead it. The Rockies are 1/2 game back. The Dodgers and the Giants are 1.5 games back. And the Padres are only 4.5 back. So, yeah.
Yeah. And none of the teams in that division have a very great record. What are the Diamondbacks or Rockies? What are they, 2 or 3 games over at the most?
Yeah. Yeah, the Diamondbacks are three games over, the Rockies are two games over, and then the Dodgers and the Giants sit at 500. So
it took a long time for the Dodgers to get back to 500 from a poor start they had this year.
So yeah, they really got out of the gate slow, and you know, with the well, they're another team. You know, Kershaw's hurt, Rich Hill's always hurt. You know, Kenta Maeda went down, Hinjin Ryu went down. I mean, that's four-fifths of your starting rotation. So I guess 500 should be a positive, right?
Yeah, right. It always surprises me that Hill always seems to be hurt because his velocity is so low. Oh. I mean, he doesn't have much in the way of fastball, and he gets hurt anyway.
Yeah, you just wonder, you know, with this guy. You know, and he's a big blister guy. You know, and you just wonder if there's a way, you know, they can treat this or toughen his hands up. I mean, maybe he has to go with the Moises Alou idea of peeing on his hands. Remember that story? Maybe he ought to try that.
Yeah. There was a substance they were able to use years ago to prevent, put something over the blisters, and they would be able to pitch with that. But I haven't heard too much about that lately. I don't even know if it's legal anymore. But there was some kind of glue or something they put over the blister. I'm not sure even if it's allowed anymore. But, of course, that was 20, 30 years ago when the pitchers were tough.
Yeah. Well, you know, Nolan Ryan used to say he used to soak his fingers in pickle juice to help with blister issues.
In brine. Yeah, a lot of them did the things like that. But I don't think
so. But,
anymore.
You would figure with it. Yeah, you know, as far as we've come, you would think they would have some idea, you know, what was it, his last start, he threw two pitches or whatever and had to come out of the game? It's like, really, two pitches? We couldn't figure this out before he went to the mound? So.
Well, expect that to happen to Darvish when he comes back in a couple of weeks. They'll probably throw him three or four pitches and that's it. He got a blister, take him out.
Yeah, what a guy looking at. You know, a lot of money on the table there for a guy who's had some issues. So
absolutely. But you know, what's your? By the way, how about Chatwood? How is he going to stop these walks today? He 4 2/3 innings, 7 walks, great stuff. Control looks good, and then he goes crazy and he can't get the ball over the plate. I mean, not even close. Not even one of these other. The umpire didn't give him the benefit of the call on the outside pitch. Now when it's 3 feet over the batter's head or on the ground, when he misses, he really misses.
Yeah, you know, I'm trying to remember, has he always had a, you know, it doesn't look like he had too big of a walk issue before he got here. Like, he had 77 last year in 33 starts. The year before that, he had 70 in 27 starts. He's made 11 starts for the Cubs, and he already has 49. So he's going to go flying by those numbers.
Yeah.
So, I wonder. You know, the Cubs went out and got Kevin Hickey, and he's supposed to be kind of a pitching guru. So you would think he would be able to straighten this out. I mean, it's got to be mechanical at this point. And for whatever reason, they can't seem to get him right. And, you know, I guess he's lucky they don't have anybody to replace him with, because he's definitely a problem in the rotation. I mean, you're almost looking at a loss every 5 days. I know they won today, but you can't keep going with a guy who's only going to give you 3 or 4 innings.
Yeah, well, you do have Montgomery as an alternative, and he's done pretty well the last few times he started.
Yeah, but sadly, with Darvish hurt, you can't use him right now in that spot. He's got to stay where he is.
No, yeah, that's right.
You know,
the guy. It seems to me it's a head case now with him. I don't even know if it's mechanical anymore. I think it's in his head that his control issues, and he walks the guy and he goes crazy, and then he just can't get the ball over the plate.
Yeah, you know, and it is possible. It's just all in his, you know, all in his head now, and he. You know, he's just kind of scuffling with it. So, you know, or once you get that first one, he kind of loses it, and, you know, there's more to come. You know, I mean, I guess we got to start looking for, you know, is Eddie Butler still hurt? Is there any chance we can get him back?
He's been on the DL with that groin issue for at least a month, right? At least.
Yeah, it's been a while. So, you know, because
yeah,
obviously, I mean, you know, we talked about it. You know, we talked about it before. There, you know, there's nobody on the farm. You know, they brought up, what is it, the Korean guy, Jung Ho Sen or whatever, and he was an embarrassment.
Yeah.
So I, you know, I don't willing to get the other guys they have hanging around there, but yeah, you got to come up with something.
There was one guy, I can't remember his last name, was Azolay, or my, I don't know if I'm pronouncing it right, but he looked like he had promise, although he hasn't done all that much lately down in Iowa.
Yes. He stunk as of late as Iowa. He fell to 2-4 with an ERA of 4.67 over 8 starts.
Yeah.
He was doing good his first couple starts, but
yeah, he was.
And,
I guess they could even catch up with a pitcher who's mediocre in AAA after a couple times around the circuit.
Yeah, you know, and you wonder, I mean, you know, like they have, you know, Dwayne Underwood has been, you know, I guess you'd call him solid. His ERA is at 3.70 after 10 starts. And then Alec Mills is 3.77. So, like, they're not fantastic numbers, but you just got to wonder if sooner or later you got to give these guys a look like you did with Sang just to see if you can catch something and get Chatwood out of there because
yeah.
He's not helping you.
Yeah, now Rosario is a straight reliever. He's never started. Is that correct? Or, I know he's done very well.
Even at Iowa, he appeared in 12 all in relief.
Yeah, so he can't be converted. Although sometimes you're surprised.
You know, Luke Farrell made some success down there, but he wasn't very successful. He was 0-2 with a 4.94 ERA. So.
Well,
yeah, you know, they have some relief success, but they just don't have any starters who have been successful down here.
Yeah. I've often told you the story about when DeRocher was managing the Cubs in the 60s and the Cubs got Fergie Jenkins from Philadelphia. He was a relief pitcher. And immediately DeRocher said, this guy's not going to be a relief pitcher. He's got the stamina. He's going to become my starter. And I think Jenkins initially balked at the idea, but... Well, you know how it turned out. So he knew his baseball with that player, at least. If only something like that would happen to the Cubs nowadays. But it doesn't look like it's going to happen, unfortunately.
Yeah, it would be nice if they could, you know, find a guy. I mean, for whatever reason, they've had difficulty developing pitching. So... You know, well, you know, because, you know, the big guy the longest time, you know, they preached was Carl Edwards, and then they converted him to a reliever. He went the opposite way Jenkins did. You know, he was a starter pretty much all through the minors, and then they dumped him into a relief role.
I'm wondering if they did that because they feared of that he would have some arm issues because of the way he's built and the way he throws the ball. And, well, hey, guess what? He's on the disabled list.
Yeah.
In a relief role.
You know, and then even like, you know, looking down at double A for the Cubs in Tennessee, you know, Trevor Clifton has a really good ERA. It's 2.86, you know, in his 12 starts. He's 3-4, so obviously they're not scoring for him. Maybe he's a guy they look at. I mean, I know it can be a big jump, but guys have done it before. You know, I think at this point it doesn't hurt to, again, try to plug somebody in there.
Yeah, they kind of split. You know, when they made their draft selections, they picked some pitchers, but they picked some outfielders and infielders too. So it's kind of an even mix. And of course, those guys are what, at least 3 or 4 years away, if not longer.
Yeah, minimum. Yeah, you know. So
minimum.
You know. Yeah, I mean, you're probably looking at even more than that. You know, with the way, you know, the way it is, so.
And you know that of the 40 they picked, or 50 or whatever it was, a fraction of them will make it even to AAA or AA.
Right.
Let alone the majors. It's that difficult. And it's a tough profession. Let's face it. There's only, what, 750 major league ball players, roughly, not counting when they bring them up and down and a few others at the end of the season. But that's a small base considering how many people play baseball. Tough to make it. It's a tough profession. But you're well paid for it, though, if you make it that far.
Yeah, you know, I mean, yeah, there are, you know, there are a lot of jobs, you know, when you look at the minors and, you know, stuff like that, there's a, you know, definitely a ton of opportunities, but to get to, yeah, to get to that top level, there aren't that many. So
no, very, very few. You probably would already made double A or triple A if you were in the catching, right? You think you would have gone past double A or triple A in your prime?
Who knows? You know, I mean, you kind of wonder, you know, the right team, the right spot. You know what I mean? That's, you know, that's another thing that can always work against you. You know, you look at the Cubs the last few years, you know, some of the guys they dealt, you know, everybody was high on guys like Dan Vogelbach and J-Mark Candelaria. Well, there was just no place to play for the Cubs. You're not going to beat out Rizzo or Bryant.
No.
So you're kind of stuck at your position. I mean, either you sit on the bench or you play full-time in AAA. You know, Victor Caratini is kind of in that spot right now, and I know the Cubs sent him down to get at bats because, you know, Wilson Contreras plays so much, it's not going to help Caratini develop just a guy like Contreras.
Yeah, and oddly, the last time I looked, Caratini wasn't hitting all that high for Iowa in a brief amount of time.
Actually, he's over 300 now. I was just looking at it. He's up over 300 now.
Oh, he is. Okay. He started out very slowly, but now he's back over 300 again. I hope he's not a 4A player, what I always call a 4A player. Too good for AAA.
Well, you know, and I know I'm
for majors.
You know, on the plus side to that, I know you're excited that Chris Jimenez is here because you know he's going to straighten out Yu Darvish when he comes back from the DL.
Of course he is.
So,
of course he is, because he's going to make sure the fans feel the love for Darvish. He'll feel it on the mound, and he'll pitch a 7 or 8 solid innings of two-hit base, shutout baseball.
Yeah, because how many times did he catch Darvish before? Was it 6? Is that what they decided?
Not that many,
so.
But he is a veteran, and he might be able to do something with Darvish if he ever gets back to pitching again in mid-June, which is the latest estimate.
So, yeah, I was, you know, just kind of like, oh, boy. So we'll see how that goes when that finally happens for him.
Yeah, and by the way, are the Cubs now behind their – or I know they're half a game behind Milwaukee, but haven't they lost one less than Milwaukee? I'm not sure now if they lost less games than Milwaukee. That, to me, is always the important thing. It's not how many games that are played. It's the loss column that becomes critical. Of course, it's very early, as we said. It's very early in the season.
Yeah, the Cubs have lost 24 games. The Brewers lost 25. So it's one game difference there.
Yeah. Well, after the Cubs sweep next Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday, that'll be a big difference. Pull away from them.
Hopefully, yeah. You know, it's always important to beat the teams in your division. So.
That's right. Well, I anticipate this time they should have standing room only crowds for those 3 games. You would hope.
Yeah, you would think. You know, I mean, as long as the weather's good, you know, they shouldn't have any issues.
Well, even if it isn't good, they have the dome, so that wouldn't be a factor. But it's always nice.
It's not
nice weather.
Yeah, not going to affect.
No. I always wonder why the Twins don't have a dome now. I mean, especially for the beginning of the season. Why they did that.
Of all the places to not go that route, I was very surprised that they were the ones that chose that. I was like, man, I'd hate to be the guy playing outside in Minnesota in April. So.
Yeah, and they had a few snowouts in April, didn't they, this year?
I think they had one or two for the White Sox, actually.
Yeah.
So,
I wonder if the Cubs look at how Torres is doing with the Yankees and have any regrets about that. Of course, they probably wouldn't have won the World Series without Chapman, though. Maybe it's a consoling factor.
Yeah, you know, I think that's always the big thing to it is it probably hurts a little that he's doing what he's doing. But then, you know, you look at the Cubs team and would Joe Maddon be using him every day like the Yankees do? He loves his Ben Zobrist and he's got to get Zobrist in the lineup. That would take at bats away from the kid. And then you got Baez and Russell who share, yep. Obviously Baez shared second and short. You know, there may not be the at bats for the guy to be breaking out like this. And then, the trade-off was the World Series win. I think most guys would take that.
I'm sure they would. But that did deplete their minor league roster quite a bit. But now they got to see if they can build it up again.
So it's going to be much harder this time. I mean, it's easy to build your minor league roster when you're picking, in the top three every year. Now it's a little tougher to find those guys, the Chris Bryants, Kyle Schwarbers, guys like that, even Almora, who was a high pick, they're not going to drop into your lap anymore. Now that you're picking in the 20s and the 30s or whatever, it's going to be a lot more difficult. So
that reminds me, you were talking about Almora. Do you think that he's starting to win over Joe Maddon because he seems to be playing a little bit more than he was before, even against right-handers? And to me, deservedly so, because Hap looks just lost at the plate. He may have more power than Almora, that's about it.
Yeah, the difficult part with, is I don't think Joe Maddon likes to play him. I just don't think he has a choice at this point. We've seen him make plays that only the top defensive center fielders are going to make. And now that he's hitting, what excuse do you have to keep him on the bench?
Exactly.
Before their excuse was, we can't use him against right-handers because he can't hit right-handed pitching. Well, he's proved he can do that now. So
to me, there's one thing that he hasn't done that I think he has the potential to do is hit the long ball a little bit more than he does. Because when he hits one,
some guys roll into that. I don't think he'll ever be more than like a 15 homer guy at the most. He's not going to be a 20 homer guy where Hap has potential to be maybe a 25 plus guy in that situation,
right.
That's the other negative. That's all baseball's about now is, power and launch. Almora doesn't
really
fit
like
into
Almora. I think he's a nice kid and he's a good, terrific fielder and he's hitting over 300. You can't ask for any more.
So, when you bring up defense for a guy, they just kind of chuckle at you because nobody cares about it. They just want to know how many homers he hits. They don't care. He could strike out every other time as long as he hits home runs. Nobody cares.
Yeah. Didn't Judge strike out 6 or 7 times in one game and then why after the game any home run?
As always, the best thanks for listening live. But don't forget the podcast is available for you anytime you want to go listen to it.